So, another one of slim pickings. Not feeling my slimmest. Don't barely even feel slim-o. But with me today are two really fun ladies.
Who are not slim.
we're brimming with fun, in fact. Hello, I am Supriya Nair.
I'm the Panjana, also not slim, but trying to brim.
And I am May of Made in India fame. And I just feel lucky just being in the same room as you guys, to be honest.
Oh, you can't go around saying things like that.
I know.
I can't even say the feeling is mutual because the feeling on our part is so much more in excess of what you were feeling.
Oh, I thought you were like, we can't say the feeling is mutual because we really don't feel that way.
Quite the opposite. So on that worshipful note, as we jiggle with excitement, what may... is today's question.
So today, my question to you is, what makes a good bookmark? Or what do you use as a bookmark? I think
the grossest
I'm about to cause a lot of controversy in this room, so ooh,
I'm gonna have some outrage here too.
Okay, so. Okay, cool. No, I was just thinking that I can remember the grossest thing that I've used as a bookmark.
Wonderful.
Chewing gum wadded up in its wrapper, and I had nothing else to mark that spot with, so... Yeah.
Did it like flatten out as you had closed the book on it?
Well, so I had flattened out the chewing gum to some extent and then sort of put it in the silver wrapper and then the Wrigley's. It was a Wrigley's, the final wrapper on top. And because I hadn't perfectly wrapped it in the silver, it ended up being a good thing because it kind of became the adhesive. So it all stuck together. But it marked the spot and how. Well, so then, from the perspective of being a good bookmark. If we mean good by really marking where that bookmark needs to be, it did fulfill that
function.
It left
its mark?
Oh, yeah.
Other people find dried flowers in books. The next person who opened that book found a little rose of a chewed up Wrigley's strip.
It's true.
That's very romantic.
I try. You know,
I can see that as the start of a...
That's borderline. Like, starting you mellow. Licked the book and left it there.
Some pee around their territory. I put my chewing gum in the book. What were you going to say, Supriya?
I know you guys hate it, but I, off late, have taken to dog earing my books.
Oh. No! You're brutalizing that book. And I hate the sort of folded corner dog earing thing. I will use anything.
Chewing gum. Sorry.
There you go.
I swear, like, I've used boarding passes or, like, just, you know, receipts, anything. But how? No.
I just find them useful and I've given in to them. I suppose it's also some kind of very late rebellion against, you know, growing up, being told that you respect the book as an object, that you worship it as a religious object, which is all very good stuff to learn as a child, but which to me now feels less and less relevant to my life and how I read books. But you're right, I should be better to the books that I own than than otherwise, but I can't help it. So I also get very irritated with, you know, when I want to make notes, because often when I'm reading, I want to remember a lot of stuff. So I do make notes, but one of the things that I find incredibly unhelpful are those devious little inventions, the tiny bookmark post-its.
Mm.
I think they're the most useless things in the world.
I've never understood those because they cover the text. Like, don't you need the text to understand the note?
Yeah, even if they only cover the margin, like, I just, they're just there to like make a circus out of the book. And
I think it brings color.
It's Instagram friendly.
It is.
That's also true.
But here's the thing, right? The folding of the corner, which I am deeply and wildly against, and yes, going to test Supriya and my friendship, it's true. But really tested it in these last 30 seconds. But, you know, I get that when you fold that corner, what happens is that, you know, there's literally a physical way of telling that there is something noteworthy on that page or that you are at that page. And last year, I'd found this incredibly simple origami. You know how you can put a covering on the corner of the page? These are small butterfly shaped. It takes like not even 30 seconds to make. And even someone with as unslim fingers as myself listener, my fingers are basically cocktail sausages. Even yum, I, yum. Yeah, tasty, but ain't graceful. Anyway, it takes like 10 seconds to make. I made like 30 butterfly corner covers, whatever they're called. And then I was like, oh, wait, I now do not have books to put this on. But it's a really good way of doing this without defacing the book or, you know. I guess what really bothers me about folding the corner is that that crease makes that page weaker, that spot.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later, that bit is going to tear off, which then leaves it looking like one of the dogs that's been sterilized by WSD, which is cute on the dogs, but not as cute on the book. Mm. Yeah, they snip the ears, so you can tell.
Here's an admission, though. I kind of like defacing books.
Just a vandal.
I'm just a vandal.
Just so cruel. I don't even know anymore. Why are you doing a podcast about books if you're like, I want to trash them?
Well, do you realize what books reviewers have to read?
Okay, fair. Trashing a bad book is one thing. Trashing all books is a whole other
thing. No, fair.
Trashing a book you can use? Yeah, that's true. Maybe this is a conversation better suited for a therapist's couch. One of the things I've always particularly enjoyed using as a bookmark is a currency note. I feel like putting that 10 rupee, sliding that 10 rupee note in there feels to me like that moment in A Better Tomorrow where Chow Yun-fat lights his cigarette with a burning dollar bill. It is the sexiest moment in cinema history.
And you should have done this when demonetization was announced.
This should indeed.
It was the best use of the 100 rupee note.
That's so good. I feel like I should have taken up smoking just in 2016 just to do that.
Yeah.
But then, of course, demonetization also left us without the money to buy cigarettes.
I couldn't. Or books or bookmarks. But a friend of mine did use 100 rupee notes as bookmarks. I actually have like a wad of 1 rupee notes. Back in the day, we had 1 rupees. And I can't bear to use them as bookmarks because I'm petrified of losing them. I always lose bookmarks. Like scrunchies and bookmarks are two things that I can never keep track of, you know? And which is why, like, you know, that everyone gives readers bookmarks, right? Like, and it's a lovely thing. But friends have given me these exquisite metal-worked, beautiful things, which I have not intended to lose and yet have lost, which is why chewing gum happens. But, you know, which is why I don't end up using those 1 rupee notes. I think they'd be great bookmarks. The next time I gift somebody, I'm going to give them one of those 1 rupee notes. Note to self.
Yeah. I like that.
I think they're going to be worth a lot more now.
Talking about bookmarks, I was trying to figure out what are the... Sorry to get a little religious, but like most Bibles, right, have like a satin ribbon that sort of pulls out of it. So I feel like I wish books just came with that.
Many do.
A lot do. Really? The Everyman classics, which are still published, are hardbound books.
A lot of hardbound books come with ribbons.
So convenient.
Yeah.
Though the thing is, for me, I also, that ribbon's lovely. But I also like bookmarks. So say, for example, let's say a boarding pass, right? So the front, the main part of the boarding pass where your name and all that is, the way I slot it in also tells me which page I'm on. So if I'm flipping it round and I have the back of the boarding pass and it's facing the other way, that means I was on the other page on that side. So wherever the boarding pass is facing or where the front of the bookmark is facing also tells me which page I have to read from.
My problem with those satin, usually they're woven, right?
Yes.
Like little friendship bands, essentially. I would unravel them. They unravel very, very easily. And before you know it, you have like a My Little Pony's tail coming out of your book.
You do. It's true. Excessive overuse is not good for those ribbons.
Or anything, truly.
You can throw a book around a bit.
Yeah. Were we successful at recommending bookmarks or just talking about our relationship with books?
Sophia's just recommended being violent with books in various ways and abusing the bejesus out of them.
I know.
I mean, they're mine.
I think the boarding pass was the best recommendation.
Yeah.
Us traveling right now, I feel like it makes me sad also.
I've found boarding passes because that was a ritual, I think, for a lot of us, right? Like train journeys, when we were doing train journeys, it was a standard thing to buy a book before getting on a train journey. And then you put the ticket as your bookmark. My dad remembers doing that with bus tickets a lot because he took the bus for small commutes. I didn't use public buses as much. Like, the only time I did was in college. And at that point of time, there was no question of reading because this was Delhi. And whatever books I had, I was using to basically inflict damage upon male groins coming towards either me or some other woman in the bus. So there was not much chance of using these as bookmarks. You basically wanted to forget that ride as quickly as humanly possible. But boarding passes and train tickets were sort of natural bookmarks that you came up with. And I just the other day I pulled out a book from my bookshelf and found a boarding pass there. And it was like, you know, going to Guwahati and my heart. Aww. Just anyway, no, let's not go there.
No, fair. And I think the whole thing of like the journey also, it kind of reminds you of like, you know, where you were going at the time you were reading that book or something. It's kind of nice.
One day we will travel again.
I agree. Till then, we'll use receipts.
Or we'll fold the corners of books.
No.
Pages,
some of us will.
Apparently.
On that note.
Thank you, May, once again, for sitting with us on this. And Supriya and I will see you soon with more Lit Pickers.
Yay. And Slim Pickings. That was it for this Slim Picking. For fatter conversations and greasier talk, listen in to The Lit Pickers with Supriya and Dipanjana. Bye for now.
The Lit Pickers is a Made in India production. Don't forget to rate and review and follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tell everyone you know about the show. Share it on social media, tell your friends and family, scream about it on your rooftop. It really helps get the word out. Oh, and use the hashtag LitPickers. Follow Supriya Dipanjana on Twitter or Instagram. You can also find all of the books they've mentioned or recommended in an online resource via a link in our episode description. Thanks, and keep listening.